This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for your noon ag show brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now with the noon ag show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now in ag news here on your Monday afternoon. Top news from Friday was the April World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate Report from the USDA that called for lower corn and higher wheat stocks in the U.S. at the end of the marketing year, which is August 30. The outlook for wheat calls for lower supply, reduced domestic usage, unchanged exports, and a higher ending stock. Wheat supplies are lowered to 110 million bushel because of lower than expected imports, while feed and residual use were lowered by 25 million bushel. Projected ending stocks were raised to 852 million bushel, and they're still 17% lower than last year. The season average farm price for wheat is unchanged at $5 a bushel. The corn outlook calls for greater feed and residual use, increased corn used for ethanol, larger exports, and lower ending stocks. Exports increased by 75 million bushel based on the March export inspection data that hit the highest total since November of 1989. The season average farm price for corn is still unchanged at $4.30 a bushel. Supply and use changes for soybeans include higher exports, lower crush, residual use, and seed usage. Soybean ending stocks are predicted to be at 120 million bushel, unchanged from the previous forecast, and the season average soybean price gained a dime to $11.25 per bushel. In other ag news, looking at what could happen this week, the U.S. Supreme Court could be hearing oral arguments in the long-running feud between the ethanol and oil industry and the EPA over small refinery ethanol waivers. Renewable Fuels Association Jeff Cooper says the High Court could soon take up the appeal by Holly Frontier and CVR Energy of the refiners' lower court loss in defending ethanol waivers they received from the EPA.
We're about, 2.5 weeks away from oral arguments in the Supreme Court. We were very pleased to see 8 states file an amicus brief in support of our arguments.
The Supreme Court agreed to review a Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that overturned several small refinery ethanol waivers by EPA that the agency is now stepping back from.
And, of course, we also saw EPA file a brief that supports our arguments and really, I think made some very solid arguments that should resonate with the court.
RFA, National Corn Growers, the National Farmers Union, and the American Coalition for Ethanol won the lower court ruling against the retroactive waivers that they claim cost the industry more than 4 billion gallons in lost demand. The groups argued EPA lacks the authority to grant retroactive waivers in non-consecutive years, and the oil refineries suffered no economic harm since they simply passed along the biofuel costs to customers. And the Biden administration submitted the president's budget priorities for discretionary spending during the fiscal year 2022. The funding requests advance key USDA priorities like economic development and growth in rural America, supporting American agriculture, aiding in the approach to mitigate climate change, and supporting a strong safety net to address hunger and food insecurity. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack said, quote, "The president's budget provides the resources to build back better, stronger, and more resilient and equitably than ever before." The president's discretionary request provides an increase of $65 million over the 2021 enacted level for the rural e-connectivity program, ReConnect, which provides grants and loans to deploy broadband in underserved areas. Biden's request also provides $4 billion above the 2021 enacted level for USDA's research, education, and outreach programs. The request also asks for almost $1.7 billion for high-priority hazardous fuels and forest resilience projects to combat the growing threat of wildfire. The 2022 discretionary request also provides $6.7 billion for critical nutrition programs like the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC. During the month of April, we celebrate Earth Day, which is a time to focus on the planet and our impact upon it. Dairy farmers are working to make their farms more sustainable by conserving land, water, and energy. And here to talk with us today about their efforts is Jill Williams, registered dietitian and nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Sustainability seems to be a hot topic across all of agriculture right now, but how are dairy farmers specifically working towards sustainability?
Well, dairy farmers have improved the amount of milk that each cow produces, which reduces the amount of feed, water, and space that's needed per gallon of milk, resulting in less manure. So according to USDA statistics, U.S. dairy farmers today are producing almost three times more milk with about half the number of cows compared to dairy farmers 70 years ago. So that's really a great thing when you think about, you know, how much more efficient they are. All agriculture produces 9% of the GHG emissions in the U.S. animal agriculture, which includes dairy. The dairy industry accounts for only 2% of total emissions in the United States.
Jill also goes on to explain how cows are producing more milk than ever before.
Well, a couple things. So the increase in production is due to genetic improvements through breeding, also a focus on cow comfort, quality, and management of dairy farms, and increased knowledge of nutritional needs for dairy cows. Farmers hire experts in animal nutrition and breeding to help them be as efficient as possible. So we always like to say happy and healthy cows are more efficient at producing high-quality, nutritious dairy products. And that really is true. Happy cows produce the most milk. So just, you know, taking great care of them definitely has a big impact on that.
And finally, Jill goes over other sustainability practices on a dairy farm.
On the farm, dairy farmers are conservationists, and they use a variety of recycling practices so they can use as little water and energy as possible in the daily management of their farm. Many dairy farmers practice manure production by spreading natural manure into the soil to replenish the soil so the crops grow better, reducing the amount of commercial fertilizers needed. Farmers save energy by using LED light bulbs, high-efficiency milk chillers, and improved ventilation to reduce energy on the farm. Dairy farmers also recycle water on their farms, usually at least 3 to 5 times. Farmers generate energy on their farm from solar power or anaerobic digesters. And also, which, you know, something that's interesting about cows is that they're the original recycler. The bulk of their diet includes byproducts that humans actually can't digest. Cows have 4 compartments in their stomach, which means that they can recycle food that people can't eat, like citrus pulp and cottonseed.
And again, that was Jill Williams with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. In other state news, farmers who would like to run for a 3-year term on the Illinois Corn Marketing Board, the Illinois Soybean Program Operating Board, or the Illinois Sheep and Wool Marketing Board can now start circulating their nomination petitions. Petitions are available through the commodity organizations and at the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield. The deadline to complete and return these petitions is by May 15th for the Corn Board and the Soybean Board, and candidates have until May 31st for the Sheep and Wool Marketing Board. To be eligible, each candidate must be 18 years old, have produced and marketed the pertinent commodity last year, reside in the district they'll be representing, and have submitted a valid petition by the filing deadline. Elections for all 3 boards will be held on July 6th, and for more information, you can call the Illinois Department of Agriculture at 217-524-1083 or visit the website agr.state.il.us. And the list of counties that are holding elections are as follows. In the Illinois Corn Marketing Board, they're holding elections in District 2, 5, 8, 11, and 14. Districts local to us include District 8, which is Cass, Fulton, Logan, Mason, Menard, Peoria, and Tazewell County. District 11 has Christian, Effingham, Fayette, Montgomery, and Shelby County. And District 14 has Bond, Clinton, Madison, Monroe, St. Clair, and Washington counties. Again, those are districts that are eligible for election in the Corn Marketing Board. On the Soybean Program Operating Board, they have open districts in 2, 10, 11, 14, 16, and 17. Local districts include District 10, which is Christian, DeWitt, Macon, Moultrie, and Shelby County. And in the Illinois Sheep and Wool Marketing Board, districts there include District 2 and 5 that need a new representative. The local district is District 5 that includes Adams, Brown, Calhoun, Cass, Green, Jersey, Macoupin, Morgan, Pike, Schuyler, and Scott counties. And that concludes your Ag News here on a Monday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday afternoon, April 12th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.